Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hello, and thank you for joining me today on the Success Is Podcast with your host, Phil Portman. Today, my guest will be Dr. Lauren DeRoy. She's a wife, mother, family doc, NP that specializes in helping moms in medicine find clarity and peace in their own journey in mental health and business. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the opening question. What does success mean to you?
Success to me has changed a lot over my lifespan. It started out, probably success to me meant being when I was younger. Do you want me to go ahead and share my journey at this point and kind of how that changed and evolved? So when I was younger, when I was a child growing up, I grew up in a rather physically, emotionally abusive family. My father drank a lot. My mother wanted us to leave, but she never could because financially she couldn't afford for us to leave. And thankfully, I always want to share and, you know, let it be known that my father is now saved and we have an amazing relationship and it's a beautiful story now. But whenever I was a child, that isn't how it was. And I viewed success as a child as being able to independently take care of my own self, to be an independent woman and to not rely upon anybody else. So I strove really hard my entire life to make sure that that happened. And for me, like, success was graduating from, you know, the top universities and getting the top degrees. And I got myself into major debt doing that with school loans. But I didn't care. Like, my idea of success at that point in time was my title. And I put all of my, pretty much everything into that title. And then whenever I found out how tied to that I was, meaning that I didn't have freedom for life, whenever I got married and we had our son, my shifts started to happen, like shifts in me happened a lot. And that changed a big part of me. I didn't care before my son was born that I was working 6 hours a week in the office. And that's how I identified myself. So I felt good about that. And then once he was born, I instantly realized that that's not where I'm feeling fulfilled in life. And that sitting at the office, charting all the time, working long hours, trying to see as many patients as I could, those kind of things were not actually fulfilling me in the way that I wanted to be fulfilled in life. So I started to make a shift, but I noticed I was kind of trapped because unfortunately I did have all those school loans. So that's whenever I branched out and I started to figure out different income streams so I can start hiring out for help so I could be home sooner and like do less, you know, like hiring out for housework and that kind of stuff and be able to be home sooner. And as I was starting to do that, I kind of discovered a totally different part of me in that I feel like I can't put success into one single bucket because one part of that is the success in feeling connected with my family and my son and being there with them and knowing that I am generationally, but also just on an intimate level with my son, raising an individual in this world who's going to make a positive impact. And then the other part of that was as I started helping other providers, as I started helping other people in the different things that I've done with people and their health or their wellness or their business or their mindset or whatever it was, having that connection and being able to share the gospel with other people and being able to rely more upon God and relinquish that control that I had and overcome those limiting beliefs that I had as a child growing up, hiding adult secrets and those kind of things, and transferring that over to other people and allowing them to have those breakthroughs. So for me, whenever I think about success at this point in my life, it's whenever I'm making whenever I'm helping somebody else make that transformation in their life, in their mindset or their freedom, whatever it is, that's where I feel the most success. That's where I feel the most enlightened and it's of course true the same with in my family, it just at a different emotional level. But it's so funny that everything else falls into place whenever you lead with that. And I would say that's probably more of what I view of success now, even though that isn't what it was when it started.
Yeah. So going from a world where, you know, you had gone from school to a very defined business to kind of branching off on your own, a lot of people have difficulty making that transition because you're losing the safety and the structure of that. Mm-hmm. How were you able to do that? And what did you learn along the way?
So I think the biggest thing was a big shift in my mindset and what security was. Because security was definitely a huge thing for me. It always has been, obviously, since when I shared my childhood, that was a security thing. But I switched, I started to realize that building something of my own had more security in it than relying upon somebody else, such as like being an employer. And like in my office, I don't own the office. The hospital that I work for does. And I was an employee there. And while I generate, you know, a certain percentage of the income and those kind of things from the clinic, I'm still relying upon them. And I, along the way, ended up feel like through personal development, through learning, listening to other people. And I realized that that isn't actually security. And I've learned that just because especially through COVID, going through that and having to sign a document that said, I will work, you know, this sounds crazy. And I haven't heard anything from it, thankfully, since then. And I feel I feel like an idiot even sharing that I signed this, but I signed a piece of paper that saying that we're in a pandemic and I will work as many hours as they need me to. In the moment, whenever COVID hit, we thought the world was ending and that we were all going to strap together. And it was just, there was so much momentum of, you know, just being there to save the world and those kind of things. And we got kind of wrapped up in it. And I think that's why all of us signed that document. But I feel like, especially during that, that was a big eye opener to me that, you know, I'm not in control and now they can ship me off where they want, those kind of things. So I feel like I left that feeling of being an employer is more security.
Yeah, because you have more control over it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a lot of the things that you learn in entrepreneurship and business ownership and that sort of thing, there's not a whole lot of textbooks in college, I believe, for really stepping out of the norm. Did you have a mentor or did you learn these things through the traditional methods?
So by traditional methods, you mean like versus like getting a business degree or
like an MBA or something through school?
Oh yeah. No, I do not have that. I have 3 degrees. None of them have anything to do with business. They're all health. A lot of it was, the beginning of it was listening to people like Robert Kiyosaki and Tony Robbins and, you know, those kind of people kind of got me started on that. And then I did for a short while, I was in the MLM world and network marketing, and that was, you know, good and bad, but the good thing about it is that that did help me break down a lot of those limiting beliefs. And then from there, yes, I have, you know, invested in a business coach and learning how to grow it and run it and develop it and those type of things. So it's been some of it's been like podcasts and books and tons of books. I'm always listening to audiobooks and that kind of stuff. But some of it was investing in an actual coach, yeah, to learn.
Yeah. So you talked about a key topic that I read in your book, and that's limiting beliefs, right? So what do you find are common limiting beliefs from people and how do they get through them?
Oh, there's so many of them. I think the biggest thing about the biggest part about getting through a limiting belief is identifying that they're there. A lot of the times we don't even recognize that we have a limiting belief. We just adopt it as something that is a belief. I did not realize I used to have a very negative filter because that's how I protected myself. in that, I guess, not getting your hopes up, not expecting too much from anything, because then you're not let down as much. And that probably also stemmed from my childhood, but I didn't see it as a limiting belief. I didn't realize that looking at life through a negative filter versus looking at life through a positive filter was limiting me in what I felt about myself and my actual options, because I thought they were all negative. So once I started learning that these are tricks of anxiety and depression, that's probably what busted me out of it. The other part of it in this is, I'm sorry, this is going to be like really kind of out of left field here. But a big part of overcoming limiting beliefs is finding a real true deep meaning and belief in the Word of God, and knowing that it is a literal interpretation. Some of that was through metaphysics and learning how the Bible mimics metaphysics, and knowing that we are all part of something amazing, and that we are all from the same source, and relying more upon that source versus my own self. Because I feel like even no matter how much development we do, sometimes it's still hard to not fall back into that. But if you have another source that's driving you and that is feeding your energy, you make it less about yourself and more about the outcome and the cause and the purpose that you have behind it. And it's you becoming a limiting factor in that is no longer necessarily an issue because you have a higher purpose there. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you're looking at a long-term horizon, the up and down waves don't seem so bad, right?
Yeah.
So you've talked about mental health, both your own, and then in the book, you've talked about some people that you've worked with as well. For years, mental health, and I think even still today, is almost like a taboo subject in certain people, certain families, and people avoid seeking help for it. Do you still find this to be true, and why or why not?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. People always come to me, and I'm a provider, so I believe in both medicine, and I also believe a lot in personal development and helping people in that way. I think the biggest thing is that we are afraid of appearing weak or being weak or succumbing to it and having that label. I think the label is a little bit less stigmatized than it used to be, because people are more verbal on social and those type of things about anxiety and depression. But whenever it comes down to actually doing something about it, a lot of times we are still inhibited, because then we're accepting that. You know, it's like we're taking it as part of identity, as opposed to you're not identified by those limiting beliefs or by that anxiety or by the depression. It's just something you're going through. Just like somebody who is, I always tell people who are, you know, when they come to me in the office especially, and I'm helping them, they're like, I don't want treatment for it. I don't want treatment. And the one thing I say is, you know, the worst thing that we can do is to go through life struggling and not becoming your best self. Then that does become a part of you. But whenever you relinquish that and you separate it from yourself and you start treating them, because it's different, it's separate than you, just like a diabetic, you know, they're not identified by their diabetes. That doesn't make who they are. They're diabetic, but that's not an identity of who you are. It's the same thing with anxiety and depression. And it's so funny, because actually insulin's a hormone. We always talk about it being your hormones. And insulin's a hormone, whereas it's neurotransmitters. It's also hormones, but it's also neurotransmitters when it comes to anxiety and depression and those things. And it's not an identity about you. It's a physiological thing within your body. So we need to correct that. The two ways you can correct it are through medicine and through changing the neuroplasticity in your brain and rewiring the network and the thought system that you have through changing those thoughts. And the way we do that is through several different things, cognitive therapy, or, you know, working at a deeper level with yourself, overcoming those limiting beliefs. And also, you know, sometimes medicine can kind of calm the waters for us, and we can be able to think a little bit clearer, so we can actually identify with who we actually truthfully are, because you're not that anxious or depressed person. It's a symptom that you're having.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think, you know, with working out, right, we work out physically so that we're healthy, we eat right, so that once again, we're healthy, but we don't often think of mental health in the same way, right? You need to take care of your mental health. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're suffering horrifically or you've got some major mental disorder. Oftentimes, mental health is exactly that, maintaining your mental health. And I found myself, when I focus on my mental health, I see other areas improve automatically from it. And it's probably a no-brainer, but relationship improves. My physical health is much better. And then also, my business results are affected from it as well. So I wish we'd treat mental health more like just something that you do. And it's just part of being a healthy human, right?
Yeah. Because we do, we push it down so far. We don't have mental health. You can't take off. You take off sick days for being physically sick, but you can't take mental health break days. You know, it's not really generally accepted, or just having part of being a regular routine in that you are, you know, like everyone says, well, you need to work out regularly. You need to do this, but they don't think about, I need to sit and I need to be in prayer or meditation and, or, you know, reading something that's going to build my brain in a better way and help those pathways. And I think a big part of that is because it's not something that we see visually near as much as we do as physique. So people do not identify with it in that way, like you were saying about keeping, you know, healthy in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. So take a little bit of a shift here. I own a technology company. Technology is very important to me. However, everything we're seeing on the news from, you know, what's going on with the kids with Instagram and Facebook and social media to, iPads and phones and that sort of thing. I'd like to hear your views on technology, maybe both the benefits and roadblocks caused by it that you see from individuals and families.
Yes. It is a double, it's something that I struggle with too, because I've incorporated it in a beautiful, I used to actually be very anti-social media or anything like that. And then whenever I learned that it can be something that can be really great for connections and for building up every major parts of your life, I started to kind of incorporate it. And now I do use social media and I see the really great things in it. I've connected with women and been able to change their lives, and it gives back to you in such amazing ways. But the double-edged sword of that is that, especially what you brought up with children, and unfortunately, I know that I'm going to struggle with this with Gage trying to find a balance. I always tell people in office, no more than 2 hours a day of screen time for children. Part of that is that we know that it has to do with contributing to the rises of ADHD in children. The constantly stimulating and changing screens are not good for a developing mind, especially. Same is true for cartoons and stuff like that, that tend to like flash and change on the screen a lot. Social media is worse than the cartoons because social media is a constant scrolling and changing. It's complete change of a screen within, you know, several changes within less than a second, many times. There's also the Instagram perfect world, or is it Insta perfect? That's what it is. Insta perfect, or those things where, you know, we're not going to be on there sharing all of our horrible negative aspects or being negative. So it appears that everyone just has this really great life, or it gives that. And we know that that causes an increase in anxiety and depression in children. We know that it also can help separate out the family. People, you know, we've all go out to eat and we see the couples that are out to dinner together, but they're each one on their phone and they never even connect with each other. So it's funny because, and this is going off into a little bit of a different world, but just, I think it's important for people to know and recognize this. The size of the phone and everything is actually pretty smartly designed in that whenever we are focusing on something, that is the perfect screen and the perfect distance for our brain to get stimulated and start making a hormone in our brain called acetylcholine, which causes us to focus more. That's one of the things that's used for our brain for focusing. And at that exact distance and the focusing of your eyes onto the screen at something that size and that distance locks us in more. So that's why people can feel completely out of where they're at. They'd be like, they don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world because of that phone right there. So obviously those are all bad parts of social media and of the phones and the computers and the internet and that kind of stuff. But just like you, it's been able to at the same time completely transform lives in so many different ways, whether it's financially or emotionally, or, you know, making connections, or even, you know, being able to connect with family that you would never see because of distances. So I think the biggest thing on that is just having a balance. And to me, it's having kind of time sets on how, like, even for myself and my schedule, there's thoughts on how much in each one would I do that. And if I start getting out of that time slot, I start noticing a change in my shift in myself, and trying to make sure that my son is also staying within time frame. So I feel like that's the biggest thing, that, and just remembering that not everything you see on social, matter of fact, majority of what you see on social probably isn't real.
That's right. I tell my son all that all the time. He'll, we have the Google Homes in the house, like the Alexas, and he's asking it questions all the time. And he comes back to me with the crazy answers that Google tells him. And I say, look, that is not true. You know, none of it's true. Yeah. It's just somebody typing
it
in.
I know. People come to me all the time and I'm like, that's not true at all.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure in the doctor, in the medical
especially
world,
medicine. Oh, yeah. With COVID, it's been so bad. Yeah. So very bad. I've seen it more of that than anything. It can get frustrating sometimes. Yeah.
If you are listening to this, anybody can put anything on the internet.
Anything. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And they do. And they position themselves at, which I think it's a fine line there, because at one point I think your experience and who you are, and you don't necessarily have to have a degree to be able to transform lives with other people in certain areas. But at the same note, there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of Google searching and they're feeling really smart. So they're putting themselves as a guru, and because of the way they can position themselves well, people are believing it. Yep. And it's going viral. And because, 3 million people have shared this, it must be true, or it has more influence. I mean, it just naturally has influence whenever that happens. But a lot of that is very wrong information, and people take it and they 100% run with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is with Google and social media in general is it's an echo chamber. It will continue to send you things that it thinks you believe, And and so you can go down some really crazy paths on the internet, and you think that it's completely true because everything you're being presented is supporting the facts, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So you talked about your schedule and your timelines and that sort of thing. You have a lot going on. Are you somebody that sticks to a very strict schedule, and how do you do that?
I think practice. I mean, I'm always kind of giving and taking. I am cognizant of when my time is being spent in certain buckets, and I try to keep it about the same every day. I believe in consistency, but at the same time, I've been so overly consistent that if I fell off of that schedule, I became out of alignment, I guess I could say. So I try to keep it pretty. I mean, I do try to recognize that if I'm not feeling well emotionally, or this doesn't feel right, then to not push it too hard. But I break things down into times, and I just have time slots that I follow. I usually try to stick to that.
Absolutely.
Not anything complicated.
So what do you mean by you fall off schedule and then things are missed, or it affects you more from an emotional level when you're off your schedule?
If I try to keep it too rigid. So I do have, like, I have, from 5:30 to 5:40, I'm getting ready. And then from, 5:40 in the morning until 6 o'clock, I'm working on, depending on which day of the week, I'm working on this part of my business. And then from 6 to 6:20, I'm working out and I'm doing those things. However, let's say like my son wakes up early or something like that. If I fall off of that schedule, then I used to get anxious about that. And it used to make me really anxious. Now I adopt that as, this is the Lord intervening in a different way, and I need to adjust and be fine with that. Because it is funny, because once I started doing that, things started to actually do better in my overall life anyhow, in my business and in everything that I do, whenever I started to be more relaxed with it. So I do have things that I try to do, and I have, big pictures. I mean, like big picture things that have to get kind of checked off the list. But if it doesn't happen perfect and it has to be pushed out to another day, I don't put myself on like a time frame, I guess. Mm-hmm. Now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I noticed that you said the way that you're telling yourself, it has changed, right? So it's that voice in your head that's telling you from, you know, going from the mindset of, oh, this is throwing off my day, you know, this is terrible, yeah, to, you know, letting it kind of roll off you and understanding that it could be a positive thing. Is that kind of
exactly what you're saying? Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's wording it really well, because it's just like, if, you know, something we say, oh, this is something bad that's happened, it means that the rest of my day is going to go wrong. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that at all. It might be protecting you from something else, or it might be giving you a gift that you've never even thought of that could be put into your life. And you weren't expecting it, and it's kind of like a surprise in your life. Or maybe it was protecting you from something else. There is, I'm not gonna be able to quote it well, but I remember there's a parable where it talks about the guy who said, I'm not gonna be able to quote it perfectly, I'm gonna kind of butcher it, but the overall idea of it is that, you know, all these bad things kept on happening, and they say, oh, I'm so sorry for you. And he's like, why? Like, I don't know that this means anything bad. And then, you know, all these good things happen, and they're like, congratulations. He's like, why? I don't know that this is necessarily good. And then his son breaks his leg, and he says, you know, they say, I'm so sorry that happened. And he said, why? You don't know this is bad. And people are like, he broke his leg, how can that not be bad? And then, you know, and then the government says, okay, so we have, you know, all the men within this age and this age are going into the army, and his son doesn't have to go because he broke his leg and he wasn't physically able at that time. So it ended up being a good thing. Hmm. So just keeping in mind that, oh, we don't have control of anything, and remembering that it might be a hidden blessing and we really, really don't know. So under my schedule, you know, I'm not as strict on my schedule now because of that, but I do still try to keep to it to stay productive.
Absolutely. No, that's great. And I found that true in my own life. If I look at things positively, opportunity opens up, and I'll go as far as even the people that, like the phone solicitors that call me, I'm entirely polite with them on the phone, because I don't want to ruin my day with the negative attitude. And that's great. That's fantastic. So if you were to start back on your journey and advise yourself starting off, getting into school right from the beginning, is there anything that you would tell yourself to focus on differently, or is there any advice that you give yourself back then?
Yes, I would not. I don't know. I struggle with that, because part of me would not. I probably would have guided myself a little bit different to let go of accolades being what identified me and identified success, like we were talking about at the beginning. Because I got so barreled down in, I have to have quality degree, I have to have, you know, this, you know, this accolade behind me, this title behind me, this letter behind my name, and that being my identity, that I sacrificed mental health, I sacrificed a lot of financial health to make that happen. And I think if I would have looked back, I would have realized that maybe my track wasn't going to be overall different, but the exact path that I took was in resistance to what, to something, because it wasn't an actual natural flow. It felt more forced. You know, I was forcing myself to work full time, to get through school, to do all the things. And I wasn't listening more to intuition and more of, I knew I was called to be into medicine, but it was too forced. I was too focused on titles and degrees and where they came from, that it was a major university and that kind of stuff. So I think if I would have relinquished that earlier on, probably things would have felt a little bit easier for me.
Absolutely. What would you say your mantra is now?
My mantra now? I don't know if I have a mantra anymore. I used to have the mantra of, and I think maybe that goes back to letting things flow a little bit better. My mantra used to be, and it isn't totally, but if you, well, I guess it is still that, it's just different. So I'll explain a little bit more. Sorry, I rambled for a moment there. I'm trying to think about it. You know, I used to always say, if you want the life that no one has, then you have to do the work that no one does. And I think that's actually still true. I used to equate that to sleeping 4 hours and working as much as I can on what it is I need to do and getting things checked off my list and getting things done. But now I actually equate that to leaving the hustle life and putting more energy into things that are serving me. And not that building a business and that having that extra stuff doesn't still serve me, but I'm doing it from a different energy. And I'm doing it from a different time frame, in that it's not forced. It's still having a different life, because I'm doing the work in different areas, more of on nurturing my relationships or nurturing my mental health versus checking boxes. So it's still different, because I feel like a lot of people are still, you know, living the life and checking the boxes and chasing the accolades and those kind of things. But everybody's stressed out. 80% of people are suffering from anxiety or depression right now. So it is still the different life, just I'm looking at it from a different way now.
Mm-hmm. What's holding people back from, you know, living a life they enjoy and leaving behind the things that are giving them that depression, that anxiety, that life that they don't want to live?
I find that it's most often a mismatch in identity priorities. So just like when I was saying how my identity was wrapped up in my accolades versus what's meaning to me at a deeper level.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining us today. Can you take a few minutes, tell us a little bit about what you got going on, and then how people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, sure. Well, one thing that I have going on right now is that I have a free course for other entrepreneurs who want to kind of start up an evergreen system and course. And it's completely free. It's 7 days of just giving information to you and helping you be able to kind of get your wheels going on something that feels right and is also a smart move to make. And helping people build that up and put it to where it can be more passive, so you're not having to live the hustle life, which is what I used to always do. So,
okay. And how do they reach you?
Oh, so you can probably, the best way would be to go to that actual link. I don't even have memorized. I'm sorry, I wasn't actually expecting to share that.
No worries. Yep, we'll include.
I was expecting you just kind of be here. So,
absolutely, no problem at all. We'll keep a link to that in the YouTube video.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. And they can also, I guess another way they can reach me though, is on Instagram, they can find me at dr.lauren.dnp. So that would also be an easy way for them to reach me, and they can access everything there too. So.
Easy enough. Well, thank you, Dr. Lauren, for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for watching today. Be sure to like and subscribe for more future episodes of Success Is Podcast. If you have any suggestions, please comment below. Look forward to seeing you next time.